What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome to Panel to Screen. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell! Man, how you doing today, sir?
I'm feeling multiversally good.
Ooh, did you have any dreams last night?
I think I did. I don't remember. you ever like think you had a dream, but you can't remember anything about it?
You know what? This is wild. Now I'm thinking about it. I did dream last night. And I was about to say, yes, I can't remember what I dreamed about last night, but it just hit me. It was deeply disturbing and I'm not going to talk about it on air, but apparently it's happening somewhere across the multiverse.
Yikes.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Doctor Strange 2 and the Multiverse of Madness. Mom, as some people have called it, but those people are Freudian people. Freudians. They're wearing fedoras.
They're fans of philosophy and hats.
Yes, exactly.
Or psychology and hats.
And we here are also actually fans of psychology and hats, now that I think about it. But regardless, we're going to be talking about this movie. It is going to be a spoilerific review. So, spoilers. Here there be spoilers, and ye been warned. All right, Multiverse of Madness, Doctor Strange 2. This is the first time in Phase 4. I think this is true, including Spider-Man as well. This is the first time in Phase 4 going into a movie where I felt like we were really kind of back to some extent. Like everything else that's come before has been either new or experimental or, you know, adding some new stuff here and there and all that kind of good stuff, which is not bad. It's all good. Or in some cases, kind of pruning some stuff in the case of like Spider-Man. But regardless, like overall, this is the first one of all of the Phase 4 projects that I really felt like, okay, it's about to feel like home. That's what I thought going into this movie. But I'm curious what your thoughts were going into Multiverse of Madness. Like how spoiled were you? What trailers did you see? Where was your head at?
Yeah, so I think I watched like the original trailer that came out. And as we got closer to the release date, there's a lot of stuff going on with work and like personal things. And I just realized it was going to be a nightmare for me and my wife to go watch the movie. And so I kind of stopped watching stuff. Like I stopped watching trailers. I stopped watching different things. And I wanted to sort of try and keep as unspoiled as possible. Unfortunately though, there was, you know, this was maybe like a week or so after it came out. And so, you know, it's not like people were posting this day of, but I did see John Krasinski as.
Oh,
yeah. As Mr. Fantastic. So, again, though, because I didn't I tried to avoid as much stuff as possible. I thought maybe it was just going to be like a sort of like quick cameo sort of thing.
Right.
I'd also heard mention of Black Bolt. And again, I was thinking like all of these different heroes that I had heard of were going to be like quick cameos as they're bumping through the multiverse and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, yeah, it kind of sucks that the reveal was busted there, but whatever. It's probably just going to be like a quick little cameo thing just to sort of like tease fans and whatnot. So it's probably not going to be that big of a deal. I was wrong about that in a very pleasant way. So yes, there were some things that were spoiled. It wasn't as bad as I thought. Like, I think I heard the term Illuminati going in, like just scrolling through Twitter. You know, you scroll through Twitter and you see pictures and you're like, well, I can't unsee it now. And all this kind of stuff. But I wasn't too very familiar with Illuminati. I mean, I've heard of them in the comics. You know, they're a group of you know, superheroes and people who like work behind them, just like the regular Illuminati that's totally real and
yeah,
is power and force today. Yeah,
no. Bell, stop talking.
All of a sudden, just a dial tone.
No. So this is good. So you had no knowledge. It sounds like you had no knowledge of the fact that the Illuminati were going to which Illuminati were going to be in this film, but you also had no knowledge of the comic book origins of the Illuminati. Is that correct?
Yeah, because it's relatively recent, right? It's not like...
Oh, interesting, Bell. Well, when you say recent, the Illuminati was introduced, I think, when you and I were... It was Marvel Civil War. And I want to say that was like late high school, early college for us.
Well, so I've collected a lot of Civil War. I don't remember the Illuminati, though.
Yeah, the Illuminati was like a tie-in comic that was also kind of... It was kind of almost like a precursor to the Civil War, which established these kind of hairline fractures under the surface of the kind of various superhero teams. And it established this idea that Tony Stark and Reed Richards had kind of decided, like, look, we've got too much stuff going on around the universe. We need kind of our various teams to be a little bit more in communication and maybe work a little bit behind the scenes to handle some things that the team as a whole may not be all that happy with. So you had, you know, representatives from the X-Men, the Avengers, the Fantastic Four, the Inhumans, all represented here. And originally the intention was Wakanda, because you had a Black Panther was kind of asked to be on the Illuminati, and he was like, no, this is kind of dirty stuff. I'm not. And he actually walks away from their first ever meeting, as well as Namor, kind of representing Atlantis. So you had kind of this group of people, the Illuminati, who are doing just that. They're kind of staying in communication, and then they're making the hard decisions and taking action to potentially clean up messes in a more permanent fashion than their other, you know, their teammates might otherwise agree is necessary. One of the critical things they're responsible for is Planet Hulk, actually.
Decide to send off Hulk.
Yes. So after an incident where Bruce Banner and the Hulk kind of go ballistic and cause a lot of damage, they finally determine, the Illuminati determines, we can't, you know, the Hulk has become too much of a problem. You know, the Avengers can't handle him anymore. We are going to send him up to space. And so they do. They capture him. They send him up to space. They say, sorry about this. This is for your own good. Have fun. Bye. And then they send him up to space.
And that had zero repercussions whatsoever.
Yeah, no, that didn't come back to hurt them at all. In fact, in, let's see, you had Planet Hulk, right? I guess that kicked off Planet Hulk, but then you had World War Hulk, where he came back and his intention was
super happy that they had marooned him on an alien spaceship.
Oh yeah, just came back like, guys, this was so good. Y'all, you have no idea. Namaste. This was amazing. No. He came back and created like a gladiator pit in New York, if I'm remembering correctly. And his goal was he wanted the Illuminati to come and battle for his pleasure the same way that he had to on Planet Hulk. And so, you know, they ended up having to stop him and yada, yada, yada. Point is, that was kind of a big thing that the Illuminati was responsible for behind the scenes making happen. You also had, you know, just the run up to Civil War, where you end up with these... with the Illuminati kind of making the decisions prior to the Civil War to kind of prepare for the inevitable split that would end up happening. And over this kind of idea of the government needs to be more involved with the superheroes and there needs to be more oversight and how certain heroes are going to react to that. So anyway, all that to say, yeah, man, the Illuminati's been around for a minute. I it's surprising to introduce the concept of the Illuminati here. And obviously what we got in Multiverse of Madness is not the Illuminati of the comics, in the sense that it is not, their foundation was not the same for what the comics was. Here, the Illuminati just are essentially the Avengers, right? The Avengers by a different name.
Are they?
It seems to be the case. Like, they fought Thanos the same way our Avengers fought Thanos. So I think that's kind of what I get from it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I don't know. That was my interpretation. Did you think that there was another Avengers on this planet?
I don't know, because we didn't see a Thor, we didn't see a Hulk, we didn't see an Iron Man, right. We didn't see, you know, any of these other characters. And so, I mean, like, I don't know if they died during when they were fighting Thanos or something. But it seems like only Doctor Strange was the one who, quote, died fighting Thanos, end quote.
Right.
Didn't really. But I don't know. Like, it seems interesting, because not having too much, you know, context from, I knew about the Illuminati, so I figured this was the Illuminati of this Earth. I didn't think about whether or not it might have been like an Avengers equivalent on this Earth.
I think this is the Avengers equivalent. Now, I mean, admittedly, there's a lot that's implied on this Earth. We've got Ultron bots, and there's kind of a question of who made the Ultron bots and that sort of thing. I would like to think, let me ask you this real quick though. Are you familiar with the Cabal? Like, do you know the Cabal in Marvel Comics?
The name sounds familiar.
So this was during Dark Reign, when Norman Osborn kind of had control of
Avengers.
The Dark Avengers, and he had reformed S.H.I.E.L.D. into Hammer.
Yeah.
So he also established his own Illuminati that would become known as the Cabal. And same basic concept. You had all of these kind of more villainous people, or people with more villainous ties, to kind of operate and manage, you know, their public images and everything else in some of these large world events, with Norman Osborn at the head of it. So interestingly enough, though, you also had on that team Namor. So Namor was both a member of the Illuminati and the Cabal, which was interesting. And then you also had Emma Frost, who at the time was a hero, but was also trying to manage kind of the X-Men standing in the new, you know, during the Osborn World Order, so to speak. So
yeah,
it was an interesting time. It was an interesting time in comics. But I don't, you know, I would love to see them explore the concept of the Cabal. Honestly, I hope that in this introduction of the Illuminati and the Multiverse of Madness, that we might one day actually see an actual Illuminati in the MCU. I think that could be kind of interesting.
The concept has been, you know, brought up here, but the question remains is, do we have a Fantastic Four? Do we have an X-Men in our universe?
Well, not as of yet, and therein lies the challenge. All right, Bell, we are about 10 minutes into this review, and we have talked nothing but Illuminati, and this was Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. And there, my friend, and primarily lies my problem with this movie and the marketing surrounding it. They really hyped up the Illuminati in this movie, right? Like, we knew there was going to be Wanda. We knew there was going to be Doctor Strange. And we knew, because like they just pounded in little teasers, little hints. Luckily, you stepped out of this. But like we heard Patrick Stewart's voice. We saw the yellow shine of his chair and all of these little teasers.
I missed that bit.
I had missed that bit.
Yeah. I'm so glad I did, because when I saw, you know, they're going to the Illuminati, I saw, you know, Baron Mordo. I was like, that makes sense. Like, he should be the villain in this movie because of how they set up the last one. And, you know, Black Bolt, I was like, that's really cool. They're bringing in some human stuff. Then John Krasinski, I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And then Monica Rambeau as Captain Marvel, that made sense, you know, in an alternate universe. And then Professor X came in. I was like, oh, holy crap, it's Professor X. That's awesome. Didn't see it coming. Like, why would you spoil that in the trailers? Why?
I know. That was terrible. But that's the thing. They just really pounded in the marketing. Like, this is the Illuminati will meet you now. You know, like, they were really, really hammering that concept of this movie has the Illuminati and all these different characters. And I guess part of that was playing off of the success of Spider-Man and having all of these different kind of villains teased and everything else. And I wish they wouldn't have done that, because every single multiversal cameo in Spider-Man, like, was critical to the plot line of the movie. Like the multiple Spider-Men that show up don't just show up for a cameo. they're critical. They each have their own arcs. They're critical to the storyline. Here, the Illuminati felt so, disposable, not just because Wanda freaking mopped the floor with them, but like they felt so disposable in the way in which they were used in the storyline that I almost kind of wish we hadn't got them.
Yeah, so that was interesting, right? Like, so my just overall take, I enjoyed the movie. I really did enjoy it. I thought it was entertaining, and I enjoyed watching it. My weird thing that first thought when I came out is it didn't feel like a Doctor Strange movie. If that makes sense.
Did it feel like a Sam Raimi movie? Because that's been the big kind of talk of the town, is this was the most Sam Raimi of the movies that we've gotten, which makes sense because obviously Sam Raimi was directing it. But
yeah, it very much like it felt like a what's the word I'm looking for? Like a reined in Sam Raimi.
But at the same time, brutal, man. This was one of the goriest, like most brutal, scariest, I think, of all the Marvel films that we've gotten, of all the main, you know, of all the movies that we've gotten. In fact, this is the first one in a while that I don't feel like I could take my kids to. Like, I didn't this time around. I take at least one of my daughters with me, but yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of chatter about that. Yeah, you know, Sam Raimi movies are generally pretty violent and gory and scary and stuff. That's Sam Raimi's style, and I was excited to see that because I'm like, you're gonna get a director like Sam Raimi and you're not gonna let him do what Sam Raimi does. And I saw some there were several scenes in the movie that were very, very Sam Raimi. I think the theme overall in some spots were, and in some spots it wasn't. Again, that's probably like Marvel's influence and whatnot, but I was glad to see Sam Raimi shine through. It was kind of like, you know, in Ant-Man. So Edgar Wright, there are some very Edgar Wright style cuts in Ant-Man that I think were to pay homage to, I guess, his original, you know, wanting to do the film. Or maybe those were scenes that he filmed that they kept in. I don't know. This one didn't feel like this was like an homage to Sam Raimi. It felt like there were scenes that were very Sam Raimi. And so that's what I appreciated. But I don't feel like it was 100% a Sam Raimi movie.
It felt a little disjointed. I mean, there were some very scary kind of moments and horror elements, but it's almost like the movie stopped. And then we had kind of those scenes. I'm thinking specifically of the one where they were like down in the basement and Wanda was chasing them and everything kind of slowed down for a minute. And we got that sequence, which I've heard a lot of people praise. And it's not that it's a bad sequence, but it feels a little disconnected from the rest of the movie. Similar to when she first started attacking him in the sanctum and she was kind of like popping up through the mirrors and everything else. Like, that was a cool sequence, but it didn't seem to flow as well with the rest of the movie. So the most Sam Raimi moments seemed less connected with the rest of the movie. So you almost do kind of feel a bit of a tug of war that's going on here.
Kind of, yeah. Like the scenes that I'm specifically referring to, like there's the one at the beginning when I guess Spanish speaking Doctor Strange, I'm not sure what they called that one, but when he gets killed by the weird scroll monster, and like, you know, his face hits the ground, it's looking directly at the camera. That's a very Sam Raimi thing with like the big, you know, makeup cuts and stuff on there. And then when the spirits
Defender
of the
Strange
dead,
When the
spirits of the dead are attacking Christine in the annihilated universe where our Doctor Strange is dreamwalking, where they're like the camera's like focusing in on her and it's like coming down like to sort of simulate them attacking us. So that's a very Sam Raimi kind of scene. So like there were those things in there, and there's some other kind of scenes, you know, and stuff like that sort of fit in. But yeah, you know, overall, it didn't seem like an entirely Sam Raimi sort of movie. There was still some sort of Marvel-y stuff in there. And so, yeah, there's a little bit of disjointed. But I think overall it didn't necessarily pull me out of the film. But I just enjoyed seeing Sam Raimi-ness in there.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Let's talk about America Chavez. A new character introduced into the series here has the visually amazing and super cool power set of being able to punch holes into the multiverse. I love this. I love that it's not just that she's like phase shifting or something like that, or even just like a traditional like open up a bubble type deal, but she has like this punch like with like lightning stars. It looks so awesome.
Yeah, it's a really cool power set. It's kind of interesting because, you know, it's very like geometric, right? It's a star shape.
Hey, what we learned, that's what we learned in Spider-Man, is that the mirror universe is just geometry, right? So like, that's the thing.
Yeah, but you know, it's from seeing like energy blasts and like, you know, other stuff like that. It was very interesting to see a power that was not that. Right. That was,
yes. Yeah. Had a little bit more of a uniqueness, a visual flair all its own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Loved the character, loved the backstory, felt she was very underused as a character. She seemed mostly just kind of like the MacGuffin of the film, right?
Yeah,
like
she Wanda, was the plot device. Yeah.
Exactly. Wanda needed her for her powers, and at the same time we also need her to be able to defeat Wanda. And so, you know, we get this like extremely like tragic backstory with this like insanely traumatizing event for her childhood, and then she just kind of like and then she kind of keeps walking, and it's like, whoa, okay, do we need to like spend some time on that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
maybe we should you know, help you process that.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's a insanely traumatic thing for a kid to go through, and like even just like her bouncing around the multiverse her entire life. We get one comment about like, you know, first rule of multiverse travel is, you know, find food. And, you know, great little cameo, of course, there with your boy Bruce Campbell.
You can't have a Sam Raimi movie without Bruce Campbell.
This is known. But ultimately, like that's it. Like, you know, in terms of like her either trying to explain the multiverse or kind of sharing more about her multiversal travels or, you know, anything there, we don't really get that. Even at the end, when it's, you know, like, you know, they're like, all right, let's go to the sanctum, and you're gonna be a you know, I was about to say a Jedi, but a wizard now, and that's cool, but like, shouldn't we like immediately start working on the like rescue plan for her mom's, like that seems as though, you know, what we need to do, right?
I was kind of surprised that they didn't have any kind of, you know, thing to say, all right, well, we've fixed this, let's go save your moms. And they were just like, nah, you're gonna train to be a wizard, and then I guess, you know, maybe in 10-15 years, if they're still alive, you can go find them.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we'll just presume dead, you know, we're just gonna presume dead, like, you know. that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So yeah, I felt like that was a little disappointing, although I will say that I do get, you know, that we have through the course of Phase 4 been constantly introduced to young Avengers, right? Like we've seen Patriot, we've seen, you know, Kid Loki, we've seen Wanda's boys, we've seen you know, obviously here America Chavez, we've seen the new Hawkeye. So we've gotten introduced to a lot of these characters. We got Miss Marvel, who's coming up here on a new Disney Plus series very soon. So we've got these young Avengers are being cascaded out there. And one assumes that we will be seeing a major young Avengers. You know, I don't know if it'll be a Disney Plus series. I don't know if it'll be a movie. You know, depending on how many they have, I think maybe a Disney Plus, you know, given that they are so cascaded around, maybe a Disney Plus series makes more sense than a movie, but I don't know. This is the first time in this film that we've actually gotten a chance to see the Disney Plus movies, and or rather series, impacting the primary, you know, movies themselves with not a whole lot of handholding. We get, you know, the notion of Wanda, who, if you've just been watching the movies and haven't watched the Disney Plus series, last time you saw her, she was mourning Vision at the end of Endgame. And now all of a sudden she's got kids and the Darkhold and she's evil and she's a witch. And like, you know, you're like, what? they do nothing to tell you what has happened. And even with the series, like, you know, we don't really talk about what happened to Vision or anything like that. We just jump straight into Wanda's been studying the Darkhold, which, by the way, if you haven't been watching WandaVision, you don't know what that is. So props to Marvel for really, like, this to me is the first time that it really feels like the Disney Plus series and the big movies are in the same universe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I would like to talk to somebody who hasn't seen all the stuff. Like, maybe they've seen, you know, they've seen all the movies, but they haven't gone out and watched any of the shows to see how much sense everything made, because that's what I'm really curious about.
Right.
You know, like, did they do a good enough job to where, like, for those of us who watch the show, like, everything makes sense and that's really, really cool. But for those who haven't seen all of the extra stuff, was it still satisfying to see Wanda from, you know, going to be a hero to going to be a villain?
Right.
Like, did that feel weird and jarring?
I'd be curious to know as well. Now, admittedly, this is a little bit of a different scenario because, you know, WandaVision came out like right in the middle of the lockdown, right? Like, so everybody and their grandma watched WandaVision. It was like the only new television anything at that moment in time. And, you know, the ratings were incredibly high. It was very good for Disney Plus. And I remember having conversations with people who were really not like super into Marvel, asking me so many questions because they were so confused by that series. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I will say that a lot of people probably, you know, are not going to be overly confused with that one, but I'm more curious, you know, for the future, like especially with something like Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or, you know, I guess Falcon and the Winter Soldier is the only other one so far that's had like major implications. Like Hawkeye can show up with a sidekick and I don't think anybody's going to bat an eye in a movie. But
if Hawkeye doesn't show up and it's just not Haley, is it Haley? No, what's her
Kate
name?
Kate Bishop.
It is not
very funny, Kate Bishop. Oh, Kate Bishop.
Yeah, but I think if Kate Bishop just showed up, you know, I mean, they could do like a throwaway line where you're like, "Oh, yeah, where's Hawkeye?" It's like, "Oh, yeah, he's retired. I'm his replacement." And like, oh, okay, cool.
This is true. No, but this one relied heavily on WandaVision. How do you feel about the fact that Wanda became insane, like extremely irredeemable very quickly?
I thought Elizabeth Olsen plays a really good villain.
Elizabeth Olsen's fantastic.
So good. Yes. Yeah, like playing an evil Wanda, I think she was just born to do that. She did so good in that role. Watching WandaVision and like it just broke her, right? The whole series of events there just broke her. And she's been through so much already, right? Like she even says it, you know, I tore a hole in the man I love's head and it meant nothing. And like everything that she's done, like, you know, the Avengers saved everybody, but they didn't save Vision. They didn't, you know, they didn't really do anything for her. And I think it makes sense, you know.
This is true. Even when WandaVision was exploring how she was dealing with losing Pietro, it was only really Vision who was there comforting her. You know,
they
lived in the compound together. I don't think anybody else, maybe Steve, but nobody else was really there. And so, you know, and then on top of that, when Vision is like her sole, security, not security blanket, but, you know, catch it when you fall, safety net. Like he's her sole safety net. And then he's gone in the most traumatic way possible. And then, you know, but that's the thing. WandaVision gave us the opportunity to explore her trauma through, you know, enslaving an entire town and causing like a ton of pain and turmoil for all of these different people and really kind of established her as a villain. But it did so in a way in which a lot of people, I don't think, really fully understood that she was the villain of that story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
so. And
so
I think a lot of people kind of came into this movie and felt like it was a little surprising that she was such a villain. And I will give credit to the, you know, I will, you know, agree that I think that they made her irredeemable very quickly in a way that felt, I will admit, jarring. Even if you've seen WandaVision, even if you know and everything she's going through, even if you kind of like chop it up to the Darkhold, she became irredeemable. Like it felt, Anakin Skywalker felt less forced. I'll put it that way. Like I'm serious. Like Anakin killing Mace like felt more organic than her just absolutely slaughtering the source, like all these sorcerers in like very brutal ways, and then just absolutely wiping the floor in again very brutal ways with the Illuminati. Man, chopping freaking Captain Carter in half.
Yeah.
There was a lot. They took Wanda down a very, very dark path, like way darker than where she was in WandaVision, where she was already a villain.
Well, you know, she said that her attacking Carmitage was reasonable. And then, you know,
the way in which she killed people was not reasonable. Like, go back. Like, there's some brutal deaths in there. It's one thing to be like, I'm going to bombard you. The other thing, too, is she literally has the power to rewrite reality. She could actually go in and do that in kind of a non-lethal way.
Yeah, but you know, that's, I don't know. I don't, I, yeah, no. I think it made sense to me, and I enjoyed it. Like, you know, she's extremely powerful. The chaos magic that's in here is not a good force, right? Like the Scarlet Witch is not a good entity, and the Darkholm is not going to help that out. And so I think all that makes sense. It was just the tipping point, right? Like that was the straw that broke the camel's back that sent her way beyond. I mean, and plus like freaking essentially kidnapping an entire town to like act out her, you know, dreams.
Childhood fantasy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's not cool. That's not redeemable. Like how do you redeem that?
Hey, not cool.
Yeah.
Not cool, Wanda.
So yeah, I mean like, you know, if you come out of WandaVision going, oh, it's okay. Wanda can still be a hero. You know, I think,
no, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that she could still be a hero. I mean, I agree that that is irredeemable in and of itself. I think there's a difference in a crime in which everybody, yes, those people are walking away from that heavily traumatized. There's a lot of damage done. There's a lot of damage done, and I'm not trying to say that that's not the case, but hurting and killing are two different things, and I think that like. And then on top of that, it's not just like murder. It's the brutality of it that I think communicates that there's something with Wanda that she can't be trusted. You know, like it, we may need a Wolverine here. You know what I mean? Like it may be time for Wanda to, for an Illuminati to take care of. Maybe she's the reason why we get an actual Illuminati. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, she was taken care of at the end of the movie.
I don't know that that's true.
Well, I don't know. Like all the stones and stuff came down and you see that big explosion of red. I kind of assume that was her killing herself.
Elizabeth Olsen still has she re-upped her contract with Marvel for a few more films.
Did she now?
She did. So now granted, we know that a lot of movies are taking place earlier in the timeline. So, you know, there's very much a possibility that that's the case. Goodness, what did I just see? I think I just saw an article that said that Secret Invasion is actually going to take place during the blip. Not that impacts Wanda, but just shows that they're still doing this thing where they're telling stories from various points in the timeline.
That's interesting. Like I've been real curious about what they're going to do with Phase 4. Like how do you up Thanos? Like are we not going to do an Avengers movie again?
I think eventually we will, but I don't think there's going to be one for Phase 4. I think that this is the experimental phase, man. They're trying some different things. We've got the Disney Plus series. My guess is whatever the Avengers level event's going to be is probably going to be a Disney Plus series.
Really?
Well, I mean, Phase 4 kicked off with the Disney Plus series. I think that's never. Well, yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, it kicked off with the Disney Plus series, so I think that's reasonable.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's possible anyway. We'll see.
Yeah.
But we got a lot going on. We got, you know, we still have this kind of theoretical Thunderbolts/Dark Avengers that are being put together, although we haven't heard much about that in a while. We still have the cosmic nature of what's going on here with the multiverse. I mean, the multiverse is, you know, you want to ask like, all right, well, how do you top Thanos? You got to remember, this phase is not about topping Thanos. It's about topping Loki. And so, because Loki was the first, you know, it was the Phase 1 villain.
That's
and
true.
So,
yeah.
And so I think the big capper here is that you have kind of, I don't know if it's going to be Kang. It might be Kang. We'll have to kind of explore that more with Loki Season 2 and with Ant-Man. But given the fact that Kang is popping up in these different places and the multiverse itself is popping up, we keep hearing about incursions, right? Like this movie ended on a cliffhanger that there's going to be an incursion.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so theoretically, that's, I think Secret Wars is probably where we're headed, with Kang kind of being the stand in for the Beyonder, would be my guess.
Okay. Interesting. That could be neat. Yeah. I could see that.
So we'll see. We'll definitely see. A couple cool things from this movie. You know, Defender Strange becoming like the fact that the zombie that we kept on seeing from the promotional material ended up being our Doctor Strange possessing the Defender Strange's corpse. Fantastic. Loved it.
Yeah, that was super cool. That was very Raimi.
The exploration of the multiverse, when they're kind of going through it, you learn that when you go into a different universe, you take on the visual properties of that universe. So at one point, for example, Doctor Strange became paint. He also became animated. This means that a couple of things. It means that the Professor Xavier that we got, if he is from another universe, it's very well that he could be from the cartoons, because the cartoon version would step into a, you know, physical universe.
It's funny you mention that, because when he was doing like his telepathy, the little circles that came out, that was very much from the cartoon, with, you know, holding his the hand to the temple and, like, you know, pointing a hand up, very much from the cartoon. I mean, the wheelchair itself is very much from the cartoon. I was almost convinced that that was the cartoon version of Professor X, but, you know,
obviously, yeah, very inspired for sure. But we don't necessarily know that it is, except for, like I said, it is possible, because that's what they showed. It also, by the way, is possible that we could see the, this means that they could easily bring the Watcher from What If into the live action. And he would, you know, yes, he would look like the live action version. Because, you know, when you're in whatever universe you're in, you take on the properties of that universe. So I think that's a really, really cool revelation. And it opens up the doors with how they can experiment with things like Secret Wars. They could, for example, theoretically bring in Secret Wars animated characters from the 90s or otherwise in live action form. So we could see the Wolverine from the Uncanny X-Men pop into this universe. They could bring Hugh Jackman back, but instead of him playing the Wolverine from the live action X-Men, he could be playing the ones from the cartoon, or he'd probably be playing, you know, the one from the live action. Who knows? But they could do that if they wanted to.
Yeah.
So I think
he wanted to.
I don't think Hugh Jackman would turn down the opportunity to be in an MCU movie as Wolverine. Not. Like that just like. First of all, he owns that role, and that would just cap it off. You know,
yeah.
I think that's happening.
I mean, they need to hurry, because I mean, he's not getting any younger.
Well, he's not getting that much older either, man. Like every single time he gets older, somehow he's Benjamin Buttoning his whole thing.
It's so weird how all these rich people can just like stay young forever.
You just inject the money straight into the muscles, and it eats the fat and just converts it to muscle. Yeah.
It's got to be.
Don't try that at home, by the way. That's a joke. Anyways. So other cool things. Oh, the cape, the spirits of the dead, the kind of him wrapping that into his own cape. Thought that was really awesome.
Yeah.
Christine obviously coming back in this movie, getting a chance to kind of see a pseudo, you know, what if their relationship could be, was really sweet. Thought that was nice. Mordo got done dirty. He was supposed to be the villain for the sequel, and they totally threw that out the window and theoretically killed him. There was a scene originally where Wanda was going to show up, or he was going to show up to hunt down Wanda, and then Wanda kills him. At the beginning of this movie, they didn't show that. So theoretically, Mordo could still be alive in this universe. Difficult to say. I think that's my main notes. What about you, Matt? Any other thoughts about the movie?
Yeah. So the big thing that I had about this is, you know, I mentioned it before, it's a Doctor Strange movie. It didn't really feel like a Doctor Strange movie to me. I liked that we got a really cool arc for Wanda. That we got a excellent villain. You know, Elizabeth Olsen did an excellent job playing a villainous Wanda Maximoff. Thought that was wonderful. But the issue that I had was that this is Doctor Strange, right? He's supposed to be the Sorcerer Supreme, and he's not the Sorcerer Supreme. I thought it was a clever bit in Spider-Man Far From Home, where he blipped, and so Wong had to take up the role of Sorcerer Supreme. But I figured that's something that they would resolve in this movie, and that Doctor Strange would be the Sorcerer Supreme again, because that's who he is. That's what he's supposed to be. And at the end, you know, it's Doctor Strange bowing to Wong as the Sorcerer Supreme. I like Wong. I think Wong's a cool character. But, like, Doctor Strange is supposed to be the Sorcerer Supreme.
Oh, get off your high horse. It's Wong for the win, man. What you talking about?
I like Wong. But I'm saying, like,
but you don't like Wong as Sorcerer Supreme.
Doctor Strange is supposed to be Sorcerer Supreme, right?
He was, yeah.
He was.
It's the MCU, man. They make changes. They twist it up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. It just felt like weird. I don't know. I don't know. That was just an issue, because I figure that's a kind of a part of his character, you know?
Can I mess with your mind really quick?
Sure.
Okay, do you know the actor's name that plays Wong? Look it up right now.
Benedict Wong.
His name is Benedict Wong.
And?
Doctor Strange is played by Benedict Cumberbatch, and Wong is Wong. Wong's playing Wong. He's playing Benedict Wong. The Multiverse of Madness. He is the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway. But, okay.
Yeah, so that was just something that kind of irked me. Like, I figured that would be a thing that, you know, because it feels like we're going backwards with this character, which is odd.
Are we, though? Because I feel like he's more at peace now. And I think that was kind of a big thing with... Because I thought about it afterwards. I was like, what was his arc in this movie? That bothered me a little bit, trying to figure out exactly what his arc was. And I couldn't really figure it out. You know, he didn't really go on a journey in my mind.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Well, again, it didn't really feel like a Doctor Strange movie to me. Like, the question that was asked and that was, I guess, answered was, are you happy? You know, like, that was his thing. It's like, are you happy? He's trying to be happy. And so he needs, like, is he happy now? Like, did he come to terms with, you know, his relationship with Christine? Like, I mean, that's another complaint that I have about this movie, is that it didn't feel like a Doctor Strange movie. I like that we got the Illuminati. I like that we got a completely villainous, super powerful Scarlet Witch. You know, I thought those things were neat and they were fun to watch and stuff. But like, I'm watching a Doctor Strange movie, I would expect to see the character having the biggest growth would be the main character.
Right.
And we didn't really see that, at least in my opinion. I mean, maybe I missed something. I don't know. I was drinking a salted caramel milkshake that was delicious. And perhaps
Alamo Draft House, baby. Yeah,
perhaps that clouded, you know, the deliciousness of the milkshake clouded my judgment. But I just didn't feel like we got a really we got any kind of arc for Strange, that we got a Strange movie. Yeah. This should have been the Multiverse of Madness featuring Doctor Strange.
Right, exactly. I think honestly, it if there was an arc at all, I don't know if it was are you happy so much as are you content, because it seems like contentedness is where he kind of finds himself at the end of the movie, more so than happy per se. I don't know. I mean, overall disappointing. I think that's just like the word that I have for this movie. There's a lot of cool things, a lot of cool visuals. I've heard that it's better on a second watch through. So once it comes out for streaming, I intend to give it another go. That being said, it just didn't quite do what I had hoped, what my kind of hopes were for the movie. I had such high expectations for this one. And maybe that's on me. I'm trying to like bring my expectations for Thor down a little bit, because I've also been really looking forward to Thor: Love and Thunder. So, you know.
So let me tell you this. So like the original Doctor Strange was is probably one of my most favorite MCU movies. Like, I can watch that one over and over again.
Yes.
I think that was in large part due to Scott Derrickson and C. Robert Cargill, the director and writer respectively.
Right.
And so, like, they did such a great job. They understood the character. Like, the visuals and stuff in the film were great. Tilda Swinton, I mean, come on. Like, it was really, really good movie. And so I was super excited when they were coming on to direct the sequel. And then when they left due to, like, creative differences and whatnot, I was kind of worried. It was the same thing. Like I like Ant-Man as well. I think Ant-Man is also another one of those ones I can watch over and over again. but I would, you know, I guess creative differences in that film. I'm not sure exactly what Edgar Wright wanted to do.
Have you not watched Rescue Rangers?
No.
I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but you find out specifically the original plan was for it to be Ant-Man, and the idea was that his superpower was he was just really charming with people's aunts.
that's good. I also heard that is in the Rescue Rangers movie.
Oh, that is a massive I'm cutting that out of the podcast. That right there is a massive spoiler if people haven't seen Rescue Rangers, and it is fan freaking tastic.
I'm sorry. I didn't think that would have been that much of a spoiler.
No. Well, maybe the fact that is such a spoiler is such a spoiler, but regardless, that's
I just saw a picture of him at like some convention or something like that on some tweet, and so I was like, "Oh, that's funny."
You need to see Rescue. You like, what are you doing today? You need to like stop what you're doing and watch. It's a good movie, man. Like it's the Who Framed Roger Rabbit of our time. Like it's really, really good.
Okay. Well, but all that stuff said, yeah. Like when they left the project, when Derrickson and Cargill left the project, because one of my friends is friends with Cargill, and I've met him several times, played Warhammer with him here in Austin. But my friend Matt is you know good friends with him. They chat all the time and stuff. And so I was talking to Matt the other day about Doctor Strange shortly before it came out. And he had asked Cargill, so like, what was it about it? Like, why did you guys leave? And he's like, well, obviously I can't really say anything about it, but I don't know if he probably didn't explain the plot or anything, but like essentially what he was saying was that it wasn't, the direction that they wanted to go was not a Doctor Strange film, and
that Marvel wanted to go. Okay, yeah,
yeah. Cargill and Derrickson had these ideas that they wanted to go. Initially they wanted to do like basically like a straight up horror movie kind of thing, because right. There's a lot of like really you know cosmic horror sort of things in Doctor Strange in the original source material, like in the comic books. So
sure,
Marvel liked that idea, but they didn't like the direction they were going with it, I guess. And so they decided to leave the project. And so they got Sam Raimi because, you know, he's an excellent horror director. And so they kind of kept that in there. But like, I don't think it was as far as certainly not as far as Derrickson wanted to take it, and probably not even as far as Raimi wanted to take it.
I was about to say, because like whilst it was very violent and everything, it just felt that element, the fact that it kind of went back and forth between being a horror movie and not being a horror movie, felt weird. Like it would have been better if they had just gone full one way or the other, I think.
Well, and Raimi's really good about the horror comedy, you know, mashup. Like go watch Evil Dead 2. And like it's wonderful. Yeah, it's got that, like Evil Dead's a straight up horror movie. You know, if you don't like horror movies, you probably won't like that one.
Exactly.
But Evil Dead 2 is he turns the comedy up. Like that's where you really kind of see his style. And then Army of Darkness is just like a straight up comedy with some horror stuff in it. That's, you know, it's more funny though. But you know, Darkman, that's also, that one's a really good sort of scary sort of movie. And having watched the film, I kind of agree. With what Cargill said, that it didn't really feel like a Doctor Strange movie. You know, all that said, though, I still enjoyed it. But I kind of wanted more Doctor Strange in my Doctor Strange.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And so again, I'm not disappointed with the things that we did get to see, but since I did like the original Doctor Strange so much, having this one feel less like a Doctor Strange movie and more like here's some really cool multiverse stuff, but we also have Doctor Strange who's navigating us through this multiverse. And like we have this really cool villain who's going to like kill a bunch of people in the multiverse.
Right.
Yeah. And it didn't feel as like, you know, Doctor Strange-y, I guess.
No, that makes sense. I think that makes a lot of sense. Out of five, man, what are you giving this one?
I'm gonna give it a 3.5.
I think I'm gonna give it like a 2.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just didn't do it for me, man. Maybe my expectations were too high, but I just felt let down. I thought there was a lot of concepts that they wrote a lot of checks that they didn't cash, and I'm worried about how they're going to cash them. I love Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic, but the way in which he was presented makes me wonder whether or not they're actually going to go with Krasinski for Mr. Fantastic. And so, like, you know, I kind of, he looked great in the suit. I believe he can pull it off. I would really like to see that. And so I really felt the Illuminati was way over marketed and way for how it was underused. And I felt Doctor Strange didn't really have an arc as much as I really love Wanda as a villain, and felt like she was a villain at the end of WandaVision. I felt that here she went too dark too quick. She was already pretty dark, don't get me wrong, but like, it felt forced, and that's with somebody who very much saw WandaVision and understood what was going on fully. So, yeah, I'm gonna give it a 2.5. I think that's it for me, but we'll see what ends up happening. We got Thor: Love and Thunder right around the corner here. We've got Ms. Marvel. We got a lot of great Marvel content that's coming up. Phase 4 continues to go on and go strong, and we shall see what we shall see here in the near future. All right, Bell. Any kind of final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Well, okay, I want to say I want to give it a 3, because I was initially going to give it a 3, because I thought you might have given it a 3, but I wanted our reviews to be different, so...
I'm going to give it 0.5 higher than you, that's all.
Well, I just wanted it to be different, I don't know, I'm weird, but yeah, so yeah. To revise it, I would say probably a solid 3. I mean, it's enjoyable, it's entertaining, but, you know, yeah, all that kind of stuff. Another thing you were saying, so you were worried about Thor: Love and Thunder. It's still... I can never say his name right.
I'm not Thor. I'm not worried about it. I'm just saying that maybe because my expectations were so high for, like, just because something's a Marvel doesn't mean that it's going to be good. You know what I mean? There's enough Marvel out there that, you know, you can be disappointed by a thing.
Yes, Taika
Waititi is what you're trying to say.
There we go. Taika Waititi. Yeah, I always like confuse the syllables. So he did great with Ragnarok, right? And he's still doing this movie.
Yeah.
And so I feel like because of the success of that one, that they're going to let him kind of do what he wants to do. And so I don't have that worry. I think he's got enough of a vision that Marvel's safe with to let him kind of explore and do the stuff that he wants to do. So I'm super excited about that one.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I'm don't get me wrong. I am super excited about it as well. I'm just trying to manage my expectations after this. I also, the other thing too with that one, if I have any, I don't know if it's concerns, it's just the reality that Taika is hilarious. Like his tone for Thor is so much fun and so funny, and Gore the God Butcher is not. So I'm just very curious to see how they end up blending kind of the fun that we've seen in the trailers with the you know, existential and otherwise threat that is Gore the God Butcher. So I'm just curious to see what we end up getting.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. Let us know your thoughts on Doctor Strange, Mom. Not Belle's mom. The movie, Doctor Strange, Mom. That's the one.
Doctor Strange, colon, Mom.
There it is. Go ahead and tweet us into the show at TV Talk FM is the place to do it. You can find all of our contact information and more at TVTalk.fm. By the way, we've got some minis headed your way for the new Kenobi series. Be sure to check that out. Because this episode's going out this week, I think the next episode of The Flash is going to be a mini. So, yeah, this will be the full episode for this week, and then The Flash TV Talk for this week will be a mini, and then we'll probably be back for...
How dare you?
It's just the way the scheduling is crazy. We've got so much stuff, Bell. We've got too much stuff.
Yeah.
Keep making the stuff for us, and we're like, we're full, but they're like, no, keep eating. Here, eat this. Oh, anyway. All right, that's going to do it for us for today. So, but for me, for Belle, from Belle's mom.
Hi, Mom.
We'll be back in a flash.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.